Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. One of the single hardest things in leadership, and in life for that matter, is just simply keeping going. There are so many words that describe the difficulty, but one that describes my favorite behavior is simply resilience. In this episode, we're going to have a quick conversation around the importance of being resilient in your minutes, days, actions, projects, and leadership. To do this, I want to talk about a lion. Now, I have to disclose before we get started here, my voice is a little screwy, and that's because I've been coaching soccer all weekend, and it's the end of the weekend. And this is what my voice usually sounds like on Sunday afternoons. So here we go. The world in the 1930s was unstable and unpredictable. Many people across the globe were recovering from the global economic depression, and governments and leaders around the world were moving swiftly to find solutions. Hitler was in Germany building a machine and culture around perfection. Roosevelt was in the United States rebuilding the infrastructure. Tojo was in Japan and trying to colonize and build a self-sufficient empire, and Great Britain was trying to maintain global dominance and be the leader of diplomacy internationally. Each nation seemed focused on their own mission, and most countries were acting in an it'll never happen kind of mode. The it'll never happen was what we now know as World War II. However, there was this little old round bald guy who kept screeching from the rafters that Hitler was a threat, that Tojo was for real, and everyone looked at him as a tired old warrior who shouldn't be taken seriously. After all, the current British Prime Minister did indicate that there would be, quote, peace in our time, end quote. This little old bald guy was underestimated, and yet he is one of the most resilient characters of the 20th century. And it is from him that we will look at a behavior that we need to constantly be modeling in our own personal and professional settings. The behavior is simply not giving up. People often argue about the difference between being perseverant or resilient. I think they are two words that are in the same family, and basically mean that when faced with an adverse situation, you don't give up. When you're knocked down, you collect yourself and you get back up. When you lose, you reflect about what went well and where the victories were that you can build off of. And when you are leading people by serving their interest and things don't go well, you inspire in words and actions. Frankly, that's why I don't have a voice today. Winston Churchill did just that to a nation that's a collection of islands, isolated, and was facing invasion from a swift and powerful German military. You see, while he was written off by many as being a tired old warrior, he just kept at it. He kept his head high and marched towards his vision. Like all leaders, he had made some mistakes throughout his career. But in the early days of World War II, he set for all of us a great example of what resilience and perseverance mean. Churchill was extremely quotable, and I want to share a few things he said that allowed him to mobilize a mindset in Great Britain and the world. When the German army raced through France as never seen before by the world, Churchill, who recently was brought back to the prime ministership, because that little old tired warrior was right, and now they needed his wisdom. He ended up needing to give a speech that cast in stone the British mindset for the next few decades. His speech to the House of Commons on June 4, 1940 was powerful and demonstrated many values and beliefs. Now, I don't have a cool English accent like him, and I certainly don't smoke cigars, but I want you to imagine, as I read this to you, that you went to bed the night before, convinced from what you read in the papers, that in the next few days, German soldiers would be marching into your nation and through your streets. This section of the speech is the end of the speech, but it is the most famous section. And here's what he said. Even though large tracts of Europe and many old and famous states have fallen or may fall into the grip of the Gestapo and all the odious apparatus of Nazi rule, we shall not flag or fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and the oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. When he finished that speech, citizens all over the empire heard him and were electrified, both by his resilience and his defiance. He, in that moment, cast the British mindset in stone, and he followed up on it until the end of World War II. As the war went on, Churchill was heard to also say one of my favorite quotes accredited to him, and it is this: "If you are going through hell, keep going." Is there a more resilient statement than that? So whether you like Churchill or not, can you have his resilient mindset when serving others? Buffalo leaders don't give up on themselves, and they model optimism for others. Do you model resilience as well? Teachers in classrooms who have kids who are living in environments and with trauma that we would describe as living hell have to reflect and ask, are we daily modeling for them resilience? Are we finding the words and demonstrating the actions so that those kids find a spark in their life that can move them? How many kids write off their teachers as old has-beens like the Brits did to Churchill, until on the one day, in the one moment, they finally hear the words they needed to hear, and they hear words that move them? Do we stand in the face of adversity when serving others and look at the bright side by casting an attitude in stone? Do we look at those we serve and find ways to model resiliency? Resiliency is never giving up on those you serve, those who need you, and those who are looking for a spark. Resiliency is the ability to yourself be in a situation and say, this is hell, but I'm going to get out of it. People in this world tend to overcome or succumb to their conditions, which is why leaders need to desperately model expectations and motivate through chosen word and specific actions. Let's start with what we can do in the classroom. Right now, today, there is a kid in a classroom who needs to overcome something. He needs someone to believe in him, and he needs someone to motivate him. Many times this kid is sitting in the classroom, not prepared, not engaged, maybe even disrupted. This kid has learned to operate without hope and instead control the attention that is given to him. So he needs an intervention in the form of a lion, a leader who sees no loss, who's empathetic to a kid walking through hell and in need of a firm hand, a compliment, a belief that he can overcome. This kid needs a buffalo who will show him that there is an optimism that can prevail, that the quickest way through it is by heading into it. Right now, there is a teacher, and she needs a colleague to spark her to action, remind her why we do this, and model for her how to get through the situation so that a kid can benefit from the right mindset-ed teacher. Teachers face an onslaught of needs, initiatives, emotions, and trauma in their classrooms, and they need a leader, a colleague, a friend, to show them how to march through hell with swiftness in order to extinguish the hot flames around them and gain control of their environment. Right now, there are men and women in all professions who feel a sense that at any moment they are going to be invaded by elements beyond their control. However, who in their life is going to establish a culture of resilience, a culture of independence, and a little bit of defiance? When in their day will they model that they can use defiance to grow their own resilience? Here's your challenge this week. Defy. Defy the mindset that you can't. Defy the feeling and weight building that there is no choice. And defy the belief that you can't get through this. Teach others through your attitude and resilience that there is no obstacle that you can't get over. There is no hurdle that can't be beat, and there is no mountain that cannot be summited. Too many people look for others to commiserate with. I've always heard that word like this, co-misery. That's right, co-misery. When we allow co-misery, we support the path of least resistance. We support giving up, and we support the cycles people are stuck in. When we model defiance towards the co-misery types, we position those around us to succeed. We position those around us to persevere in the face of misery, trauma, hopelessness, and we demonstrate resilience. through failure. Leaders are buffalo. They charge into the situation with a blind and obnoxious optimism. They model resilience. They model mindset. They speak with intention, and they act with energy. If people around leaders like this don't rise to the occasion, well, they made their own choices. But in the end, there's an electricity created by leaders like this. Think about London in the 40s, right when World War II started, burning every night for years. It was hell on earth. Imagine the survivors, the trauma. Imagine the horrors, the smells, the uncertainty of what the night will bring. Now, imagine the leader says, if you're going through hell, keep going and never, never, never give up. This week and every week, we have an obligation for those we serve to never, never give up. Not on them, not on our missions, and most importantly, not on ourselves. Drive hard for others and feel an energy and electricity as others join in your resilience. So say goodbye to commiserators and focusing on building others up. Never underestimate your ability to be in the right place at the right moment. A simple compliment, a reinforcement of action, and a recognition of effort can propel another person. And when we do that, we are very Churchill-like. Never, ever did he question the resiliency and resolve of his people. Do we have to lead nations in order to make a difference? Nope. Because anyone who has influence over another person is a leader, and that makes us capable of saving others through setting an example of resiliency. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe what you need to do to be resilient in your life and leadership. List what you need to do to march through hell with optimism. Describe what you need to do in order to defy the pessimism around you. And finally, list the skills you need to grow in order to lead others to being more resilient. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, please share this on your social media platform in order to help me help others in their leadership. And thank you to the Well Pennies for their music. And thank you for persevering through my crackling voice on this week's podcast. My love is coaching kids. And I love coaching soccer. And this is what I sound like at the end of a weekend. But finally, this episode was sparked by some reflecting I was doing the other day. I began thinking of all of the people in my life who've modeled the courage to walk through flames in order to keep moving, and this entire episode was as a result of me thinking about the final words my grandmother Ginny said to me, and they were this: Teddy, it all works out in the end. Like many of us, we have trials as kids growing up, and this lady was always there for me, always encouraging me, and always making me be my best. There was no opportunity in Grandma Ginny's house to succumb. You could only overcome. And as a result of her, I believe I am the optimist I am today. Which leads me to my last question for you. Who is the Churchill in your life? Who is the stubborn, misunderstood old bulldog that would never give up on you? And how will you pay forward the investment they made in you?
Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? There's a song arising, just you wait and see. Won't you take